and they come up with three runs. And now that just the, was that in the eighth inning? I believe it was.
Yes. Because you were trailing 4-1 going into the ninth.
Yeah, and got into the, we got them out finally. Now we're 4-1, and Larry, they brought Larry Jansen in. That was it. Oh, I know. In our half of the eighth inning, Newcomb's still out there throwing aspirin tablets, and they sent Bill Rigney up to pinch hit for Magley. I guess that was it. And, you know, Rigney, good hitter. Boy, Newcomb struck him out just like that. And I thought, wow, 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 looks, doesn't look good at all. Now in the ninth inning, they brought in Larry Jansen, and he got the Dodgers out. But you should have heard those Dodger guys in the dugout, you know, hollering at him and kidding him and, you know, where are you going to pitch tomorrow, Jansen? Hey, Larry, you know, you'll be in Podunk, won't you? This and that. And they were just hollering all sorts of things at him, but he got him out. And now we come in for our last at bats, and I'll never forget, I threw my glove down in the dugout, and I'll never forget the dejection I felt. I just totally dejected and just thought we weren't good enough. We weren't good enough in the final run to just go get this far, but no further. And we just weren't good enough. And then I thought, too, and heck, I don't even get a chance to hit with this guy the way he's pitching. I'm a fifth hitter, and we're just dead. Don't have a chance. And pretty soon, a couple of fellas get on. Al Dark led off with a bouncing ball single to center field, and Don Mueller, ground ball past first base. Hodges just missed it by inches. He was holding the runner on. And of course, there's been a lot of second guessing why to dress and have him holding the runner on instead of playing for the outs. And
he was a great fielder, too.
Yeah, oh, sure he was. And, hey, things are starting to come to life. And I realized I might get a chance to hit. And, you know, from being dead, now there's, hey, we've got some life in us. Life in me, I've got a chance. And I hit well for the last 3 months of the year, so I had plenty of confidence in myself at bat. And I think we're all numb anyway about that time you get to that point. So you follow your instincts. But now Monty Irvin popped up, and Lockman, and of course Monty Irvin had been our big man all year. He's the guy that got us to that point. And Lockman, my roommate, doubled to left. And wow, all of a sudden, here we are. Don Mueller slid into third and injured his leg severely. And of course, looking back on it and rationalizing, I think that probably what it did was break the tension, stop the game, because I was down there with the bat in my hand because I was the next hitter. And, you know, feeling very badly for Don because he was hurt and he was in pain. And my mind was totally off the ball game for that brief period. And, of course,
so was theirs.
Yeah, well, they carried Don off the field and had made a pitching change which I wasn't even aware of. So, which was an indication that, you know, I was totally concentrated on this guy, Mueller, who was a good friend of mine. We all thought a lot of him, and he was a great hitter, and felt badly for him. And now he's off the field, and the game's about to resume, and I'm walking down to home plate, and that's when Leo, who was coaching the third, came up and put his arm around me. He said, Bobby, if you ever hit one now. And I remember it ran through my mind, you're out of your mind. You know, what are you saying? You're out of your mind. And I didn't even talk to him, didn't even answer him. Now, it's interesting. Leo tells a different version of that particular moment. So I guess that's all right. You can choose whichever one you want. But that's as I recalled it. And I remember walking back to home plate, you know, and it seemed like a long walk. But I was walking back to home plate swearing at myself, which is unusual. I'd never done that before. I guess I'd never been in a predicament like that. And you wonder what's in a person's mind. And as I said, I think by that time we're all a little numb and you're a professional and your instincts carry you through to do what you feel's got to be done. And what I was doing was telling myself to get up there and do a good job, give myself a chance to hit, you know, don't get over anxious. Sit back and wait and watch for the ball. Wait and watch, wait and watch. And as I say, USOB, you know, give it a good shot. You know, get up there and do a job. Don't be an easy out. And I get in the box. And now I realize Branca's pitching. So obviously I was totally concentrated on what I had to do and totally determined and concentrated. Well, goodness me, he threw the first ball right over the plate. And again, rationalizing. Oh, I must have just been waiting and watching because I sure waited and watched that thing. Why I took it, I don't know. Now the next pitch, I can remember him winding up and throwing, and I just got a glimpse of it. It was high inside. In other words, now he's going to waste a pitch because I'm sure to get me to swing at it, but at least if not to come back with the next pitch outside and maybe make me hit a fly ball. I could hit a 450-foot fly ball that Duke Snider could have caught in center field. But I remember the pitch comes in, I just got a glimpse of it and jumped on it. And I really hit it. That was really connected with it. And the thing took off. I thought, got a home run. And then all of a sudden, the darn thing started to sink. Because obviously, I had gotten over the top of it just a little bit. And it must have had tremendous overspin. I never hit a ball like that in my life or never since. And then I thought, it's not a home run. It's just a base hit. And according to the films, which I had to wait to see, I was only halfway to home plate, to first base, when I saw the ball disappear in the ground. And then I lost all control. You know, I remember jumping up in the air and then kind of jumping around the bases, which I'd never done before, and just a feeling of exhilaration I've never experienced before. Just unbelievable. I was just huffing and puffing. And, I can't describe it. I just had never had that feeling before. And of course, playing as a pro ball player, you have your days when you're the hero, your winning hit, winning catch, whatever, besides, you know, being the reason, being the GOAT too. But that was just something, and I remember I couldn't keep myself from jumping around the bases the way I did. I just had to let myself go by the time. And, of course, all the guys were waiting for me, and DeRocher tried to grab me going around third, and I kind of pushed by him, and he stepped on my spikes and tore the back of the spike right down, just hit me right, you know, and but didn't cut me, but just grabbed my shoe and split it right down the back. And the next thing, we're heading to center field locker room, and somebody's playing around with my legs. And here it was my roommate, Whitey Lockman, getting me up on his shoulders. And so I was on his shoulders for a spell, but it was such bedlam. And finally I got down, we all headed to the locker room. When I got to the locker room, I guess all the news media and the TV cameras and all the champagne was over in the Dodger side. I got to our locker room, it was empty, but I remember there was a table there with some beer on it and whatever else, and I guess Horace Stoneham thought, well, the thought that ran through my mind, well, I guess he figured, you know, we tried hard and was going to buy us a drink or something like that. But I remember when I looked at that, I became nauseous just at the seeing that stuff there, the bottle, there was some liquor bottles and whatever else. And I it made me nauseous, the thought of it. And you know the way they celebrate today when they win? I think I had about a half a bottle of beer. well, we couldn't move anyway. We were wall-to-wall people just like that. And you couldn't, it was hard to move.